If I don't lead the league in field goal percentage, block shots, and rebounds, then that's a problem.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
I got her text. That's taking care of for us.
For you. Gotta make it do what it do, baby. This is how we roll. America! Welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man. We are kicking off another amazing edition here on the 12th day of October. We got the NBA preseason wrapping up. Fun times. Major League Baseball playoffs are upon us. NFL. We got a lot of things to jump into. We're going to check into everyone. I think Curtis and Gary are over there looking good. We're going to check in. We're going to check in with JQ and America. We are going to talk about Rob's obsession with centers in fantasy basketball in the draft, too. But, you know, again, just making things more difficult. Apparently the road for centers have to go through Rob. But, you know, again, it's all good. How you feeling, JQ, this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. That dude Rob is crazy, bro. I'm sitting there watching, like, he's just messing with people right now. He's just drafting a center like AJ right now. I'm good, man. I'm ready to do what it does. That's funny.
And desperate center needy teams going to have to come through me.
That's one way to look at it.
But like I said, if I don't lead the league in field goal percentage, block shots, and rebounds, then I have a problem.
Facts.
Oh, man. That was good stuff. How you feeling besides that, Rob? Seriously.
Hey, doing good, man. Had a good meal tonight. World-famous Columbia restaurant in Tampa. Had some guests in town, so we tried to treat them right. Spanish restaurant.
Nice. Yeah, nice. Good stuff. Looks like a
restaurant
in
Tampa in 1905.
Nice. Okay. What's the name of the restaurant, Rob?
Columbia restaurant.
Oh, what? Columbia. Okay, I got you. Okay, good stuff. Checking in with Gary. You doing good over there, Gary? With Curtis?
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. Just ready to get this party started. And when I come down to Tampa, Rob, I'm expecting more than rice and beans. I'm just saying.
Hey, man, they got more than rice and beans, you know. It's a Spanish restaurant, so you got to have some paella, man. You got to have some paella.
There you go.
Paella is good.
Right. Wait a minute. You said it was Columbia.
Paella is good.
No, the name of the restaurant is Columbia Restaurant, but it's a Spanish restaurant. It's not a
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not a the name of the restaurant is Columbia Restaurant, but it's not a Colombian restaurant, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
It's a Spanish restaurant.
Okay. I forgive you.
Yeah, there's some Cuban restaurants there, too. There are a lot of Cuban restaurants there, too, that have the black beans and the fried plants and stuff like that. So it's a different type of
– Oh, yeah.
Kind of, you got to make sure that you get that right, for sure. Like, you can't – don't mix those.
You got to eat some Cuban food when you come to Tampa. That's a must.
Mm-hmm. Get that all over Florida, man. That's good eating.
Mm-hmm.
We are ready to start the show. Because we definitely want to end right at 12 because, you know, we can't keep going to 12:30. You know, JQ and I, we're trying to figure out a purpose in life, but it's all good. But I will say this really quickly. You got the numbers calling to the show. Always follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports, 12th man. We are there as well. So we are going to recap the Major League Divisional Series. Rob, I'll let you take the Padres and the Dodgers. I know Braves fans were pretty upset. Well, not totally upset, but just it was a tough first game. and you know, talk about some missed opportunities, if you will. You got to always take people seriously. So, but I'm glad to see them rebound tonight. But go ahead, Rob. We'll get you kick off the Padres and the Dodgers, if you will.
Well, I mean, last night, I mean, the Dodgers relief pitching really held on to help win that game last night, 5-3 over the Padres. But right now, Dodgers trailing 4-3 in the tough one here. Clayton Kershaw and Yu Darvish, you know, got the start tonight. Looked like both gave up about 3 runs before they were pulled. But, Padres got the Dodgers on the rope. You know, they Padres trying to tie this series up and go back down I-5. The San Diego, you know, tied up at 1. So, a big game for the Dodgers. You know, from the Braves' perspective, though, I still think they'll win that series, even though they lost first game at home. I think they'll either find a way to either sweep the Phillies in Philly or at least split and come back to Atlanta and win.
Yeah, they gave one. I mean, they gave away a lot of opportunities away yesterday. They had to make it twice and didn't get any runs in that situation, didn't end up, you know, hard comeback in the ninth inning, but just fell a little short. You know, with Philadelphia continuing to bat, right? So even to shut them out tonight isn't really saying a whole lot. They got to, if you look at that with Bryce and Reese and Castellanos my dude from Middleton, Schwarber, like they've got some dudes in the middle of that lineup that can hit the ball. So, you know, kudos to Atlanta for shutting them out tonight. I mean, but you're going to have some games where they're going to score some runs. They just can get hot, you know, for that 2-6 or 1-5. Go crazy on you. As far as the Padres and the Padres had to have this. I mean, Dodgers have just owned them this year. And you see the Padres doing everything they can to try to gas that team up and get it moving. And it just hadn't worked. And, you know, Dodgers jumped out on them early yesterday. Padres trying to bring it back late. But then this one is, you know, can't count the Dodgers back either because that lineup is really silly as well. So I think we're getting two really good, you know, NLDS series. You know, I mean, I talked about the American League last night. You know Cleveland can't beat New York, man. If you go back and look at all them years in the playoffs, they can't do that with New York. I don't see nothing else changing. Yeah. And Houston just ripped the heart out of Seattle. I think Seattle might be hard to come back from.
That walk off is
tough. Oh, what a walk off homer, man! He crushed that one.
Man,
yeah.
That took the soul out of the Mariners. And like we talk about, it's just good to see them. Like, that's a good to, you know, you kind of sort of root for them for the underdogs, and you're like, man, they got their soul taken. You're like,
When you jump on Verlander, you got to win that game, right? When you jump on Verlander, you got to win that game. And to lose that game is super tough for a young team in Seattle. So we'll see how they rebound.
Well, that was an opportunity wasted there. Just like you said, JQ, when you got an opportunity like that, it won't be the same game the next time he's pitching. It's not.
No.
He's too good of a pitcher and too good of a pitcher in the postseason. As far as the Dodgers, the Dodgers are going to come out of this series, but they're going to, you know, it's going to be a good series. It's going to be a tough series. I think as far as the Yankees go, the Yankees are going to beat Cleveland in this series. But that's about it, I think, for the Yankees. And I'm a Yankees fan. I don't see him coming out of the American League. I really don't.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I agree with that, too. I mean, the Astros have had the Yankees number this season, too. And I just think, you know, the Yankees, that the whole month of July and August, they finally righted the ship a little bit in the month of September, but the Astros have just had the Yankees number this season. So it's going to be tough. As much as I'll be pulling for the Yankees, I wouldn't predict them to win either. I still think the Astros are the team to beat in the American League for sure.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Hey, JQ, let's get this Big Ten college basketball favorites, if you will. So go ahead and give that one.
No, that's the one I told Rob he got to do because I have no idea. I'm going to sit up here and just make up some shit. Like, well, I know Indiana used to be good with Bobby Knight.
Well, I can make this quick for you. Speaking of Indiana, they're my pick to win the Big Ten this year. You know, Tracy Jackson Davis, he might be the best player in the Big Ten this year. He could have been a first-round pick if he would have left early last year to go in the draft, but he decided to come back. I think he tested the waters, didn't hire an agent. Came back to school. So I mean, he's a 6'9", 6'10", versatile player, can handle the ball, can shoot it. Very versatile player. So I like Indiana to rise back to the top of the Big Ten, believe it or not, in basketball. And then I'm going to go with Michigan and Juwan Howard as the two spot. Hunter Dickinson, he's got to be like a 10th-year senior. And so he's still on their team. And so he's a 7-foot big man. And yeah. So, yeah. It seems like he's been there forever. I thought he's got to be like a 10-year senior or something.
Take a bye, Alexis.
So I'm going to go with the best two players in the conference. I'm going to go with Indiana 1 and Michigan 2. And you never can count out Tom Izzo or Michigan State, but those are my top two teams going to the Big Ten and for basketball, Indiana 1, Michigan 2.
And part of it is I'm not really, you know, I like to see the Buckeyes do well in basketball, but they all know I'm a Bearcat, a basketball fan. So you were talking about Indiana and Michigan, you know, I almost fell out my chair. So that's as bad as you did. I had to talk good about it, but I don't want to. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah. Penny Hardaway gets an extension with Memphis. So, again, this is admits that he was able to overcome a lot of some penalties and, you know, obviously the tough thing that happened with James Wiseman. So, good. You want to talk about that one, Rob?
Well, I mean, yeah, he's definitely had some controversy in that program. He's definitely brought more attention back to the program because if you all remember, you know, in the 70s and 80s, Memphis or Memphis State back then, they were a college basketball powerhouse. Yeah,
Metro Conference,
baby. Basketball. Yeah, Metro Conference. You're right. Cincinnati was in it, too. So they were a powerhouse back in the day. So he's bringing some more focus back to the program. He's getting some elite recruits to go there if they can just stay and play the whole season. It seems like they get 5-6 games and then something happened to them. So, but if he can get some of these guys, Memphis is a hotbed for high school basketball. So you can get some good players. If you recruit locally and then maybe steal a few players from around other parts of the country. But they are a hotbed for high school basketball. They always produce really good talent in that area. So if he can continue to recruit and they can stay out of the, you know, stay out of the NCAA's office, then they can possibly be a contender again.
Well, the first thing I would do if I was Penny is I would take a piece of that money and go hire me an NIL dude. And a better compliance officer, to your point, because at this point where you can get paid for that thing, for that, these things now, there's really no reason to be in trouble unless you're just still skirting the books and doing crazy stuff. So I would take some of that money and say, hey, I'm going to give me a solid second right-hand man to take care of these NIL deals for these boys, and the compliance officer, you fired, you're going to give me another one, and then I'm going to let those two work together, and I'm going to be Penny Hardaway, and I'm recruiting, I'm a coach, and I'm going to let the thing do it. Because there's no reason, you're right, for what he has happening, his cachet, he could be Calipari, Kentucky. Hey, come here.
Absolutely.
I get you in the first round of the NBA draft. You play for me. You're going to be on TV. And then just keep that process going. You can be mad at Coach Cal all you want, but he had a pipeline for many years in Kentucky and won it done. I think Penny could do something really serious, really the same thing in Memphis, but he's got to tighten up the people around him so they don't, to Rob's point, they don't get in trouble for things at this point with the whole NIL that you really shouldn't get in trouble for.
Oh,
well, and that's what they're
point.
Thinking,
that's,
too, by giving him that kind of a – you know, an extension. They, you know, they believe in him, and he's got name recognition, and like you said, he can bring that talent in. So I think it's a good deal. He's got to rein some stuff in, and you know he'll.
Yeah. It's funny whenever you brought up Cincinnati. There's some great college basketball players. Remember Nick McQuick, you know, back in the days, God, Shim, God, just that was a great era in college basketball at the time. So just some good names, if you will.
Oh, I remember those games when they played in Memphis. I mean, those were good games, too. I think that one year they went to the Final Four, they beat them three times in the same year, twice directly to one time in the conference tournament, which was saying something because everybody knew who Penny was and what he was going to be, you know, outside of the injuries. So that's a no-brainer for Memphis. As long as Penny says he wants to be there, for the most part, he would have to really suck for them to fire him. Like bad stuff, stupid stuff.
Yeah. He's doing his thing right now. It's definitely good to bring some recognition and Penny in his own right. He's a draw for sure.
I think he's still got Larry Brown as assistant coach too right now, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I know Rasheed Wallace. Didn't Rasheed Wallace go to the Lakers?
No, he didn't renege. I forget where he went.
No.
He was going to, and then he didn't do it.
It's true.
He teaches him how to get technical fouls.
They needed to stop us. We talked about it. Then he said no. But sorry, go ahead, Rob. I don't want to lag the show.
Are the Giants? This is great for the West Coast. Are the Giants using Saquon enough in the passing game?
Basically that's what they've got to work with, you know, and to keep, to keep Daniel Jones out of trouble, you know,
yeah.
If he does too much, he screws up. If you run the ball, if you're handing the ball off or you're doing little dink and dunk stuff, you know, screen plays like they've been doing, they can stay competitive. And they can keep winning games. Once they go away from that particular, and there's several teams that are like that. You know, you find a recipe that works, and I'll talk about it later in the show with the Cowboys,
gives you a chance.
But that's what they need to do, is because he's their best player on their team, and he can be gone from anywhere in the field. He's that fast. He can break tackles. He's that strong. But they're going to have to use him, and they're going to have to use him hard. And they really have. I think they've done a good job, actually, in how they've used him. So I think so far so good. I think they've done a good job with it. I hate him, but I think they've done a good job with it. Wanted to point that out to you just so you guys – just in case
yeah, no, we knew. I was just going to say quickly to that point is if you notice the two guys that couldn't stay healthy, and him and McCaffrey, you know, they say if McCaffrey getting enough, not, but he's still upright, and Barkley not getting enough, and he's still upright. So maybe there's some secret in that magic of, hey, let's limit what our quarterback has to do. Let's run him, but and give him a little bit more run play. We don't put him out there in space and have somebody hit him in his knees, tackling him all battle when they're trying to get him down. To your point, you know, if you don't hit him hard and bring him down, he can go to the house on you. So it could be a piece of that, just trying to limit some of his touches out there. And, you know, I'm going to use him in between the tackles. It seems kind of intuitive that he might not get hurt more, but the same drives, rotating another back, don't put him out there too many tackle plays to take those extra touches, and maybe we can keep him upright. And, I mean, I think that's working a little bit with McCaffrey as well. So, I mean, they 4-1, right? So, they only got losses to the Cowboys. They're winning with this, so who are we to question it?
Yeah, I agree. I like the way they've been using them so far. I like the direct snap, you know the direct snap, the advantage you have when you have that direct snap, you know, you got 10 blockers. You know, that's what makes the Taysom Hill run so effective, too. You know, you got 10 blockers, as opposed to the quarterback and handing the ball off, and you got 9 blockers, you know, having an extra block. So I like what they're doing with Saquon Barkley. He's got 18 receptions so far this year. I know week 1 against Tennessee, he had 6 receptions. And then he had 164 yards rushing and 9.1 yards a carry against Tennessee on week 1.
Yep.
Even in the loss against the Cowboys, he averaged 5.8 yards a carry in that game. So he's really off to a really good start. He's got 533 yards rushing in 5 games, averaging over 100 yards a game, which is phenomenal. 2 weeks ago against the Bears, 31 carries. I mean, when do you see running backs giving those kind of touches in one game? You don't see that anymore. 31 carries for 146 yards, 4.7 yards a carry, almost 5 yards a carry. So he's off to a really good start. You know, could they use him more in a passing game? You can make a case for that. I mean, he's got 18 catches in 5 games, averaging just a little bit over 3 catches a game. You know, I don't think that's entirely bad. I mean, you look at the pace that would be, that's with somewhat around, 36, 54, maybe close to 60 catches in the season. Maybe somebody with his versatility, you want to be somewhere in that 70 to 80, so possibly a little bit more. In the passing games. But overall, I think if you're a Giants fan, you got to be pleased with his comeback story and how he's performed so far this year, as well as how how they're utilizing them too.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. I agree. I definitely like the creativity the Giants are bringing as well too. You got to give Brian Dave a lot of credit too. So that's good as far as the offense and the creative whatnot too. So good stuff. All right, Gary, here's your time. So what do the Cowboys do when Dak returns? I mean, is there a quarterback controversy right now? Cooper Rush, man, every week, man, we talk about him. So I see you rocking the Cowboys. So there you go.
The one thing I'll say about Cooper Rush, you know, just it wasn't that long ago when no one knew who he was. No one knew who the second-string quarterback for the Cowboys was. You know. Well, now they know. And there is no quarterback controversy. That's Dak's team. But at the same time,
ooh,
I'm so far so good. I'm ecstatic of, you know, how he's playing. Because he's not playing stupid. He's playing within himself. The Cowboys have, you know, run the ball, play action pass, you know, screen game, similar to what the Giants are doing, except the Cowboys have done it with two backs instead of one, and then just phenomenal defense. It's really a defense-first team right now. Dak can spread the ball out a little bit more, but I don't think that that's really how I would go. I mean, I've got to take my hat off because I've been down on, you know, the Cowboys head coach McCarthy, you know. And
I haven't seen
any really stupid stuff he's done this year. I haven't seen any, you know, clock management shit that he screwed up on or anything like that. So my point is this. If you're going to give blame when a team's doing poorly and a coach is doing poorly, you also have to say – and the other side of the coin is give credit where credit's due. And I give credit to the head coach and Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, for coming up with this game plan that's really, I believe, a recipe for success even when Dak's back. If they fall back into just going and trying to, you know, score 35 points a game or whatever like they were doing with Dak and then some turnovers, some picks, and putting Dak in a bad spot. That's a recipe for disaster. If they run Dak in a similar offense, he's more dynamic than Cooper Rush is. He's more mobile and he's a better passer. So if you put him in the same situation, I think they'll be very successful. They have the potential of being very successful with that defensive mind that they've got there now and the defensive plan that they have.
I tell you what, if they keep playing defense the way they are and they get Dak Prescott back the way he's played over the last few years, this team could be extremely scary, as much as I hate to say that. I mean, we got to remember that when Dak Prescott was a quarterback of this team, they were leading the league in offensive production. And that was just last year. And so we can't forget about that. And so how dangerous are they going to be with Dak Prescott? They're going to be more explosive, as Gary just mentioned. He can use his legs more. He can throw he's a better thrower. He can throw the football more. So they have the opportunity to be a lot more explosive offensively than what they are right now with Cooper Rush. I mean, Cooper Rush is doing a solid job. Can't take anything away from him. He's not turning the football over. He's being smart, being great with his decisions. But they have the potential to have a dominant offense and a dominant defense with a healthy Dak Prescott. And that could take them to the next level and put them in Super Bowl contention with a healthy Dak Prescott. I think that's the difference. They're a winning football team. They're a playoff team right now with the way they're playing with Cooper Rush. But I think they could be in contention for a Super Bowl with a Dak Prescott just because of that explosion element to go along with that defense.
So I guess y'all just going to make me be the one to do it then, huh? Dak ain't going nowhere near that goddamn field if that boy keep playing like that. I don't care what you say. Listen, I'm going to make sure that Dak's thumb is 120% healed. Hey, now I saw you twins in the training room. Nope, you ain't ready this week. Especially if he go and beat Philadelphia this week. and ain't nothing with top. No, why would you mess with a good thing? For one, I'm just gonna say that. Two, McCarthy hasn't had an opportunity really to need to mess up because that defense is playing so well. When have they really been in trouble in the game? Right against LA, right out the gate. Against Cincinnati, right out the gate. You know, the Giants tried to come back, but he didn't have to do anything. Right? He had to do a whole bunch of should I go for it on fourth and two from the 37? We can kick the field goal. He hasn't really had to make that decision yet. So I hear what you're saying. We dumped on him a lot. But that defense is bailing him out. I would give a lot more credit to Kellen Moore than I would to Mike McCarthy. My issue with Dak being in that is, though, is that he looks like, and from the sounds of it, he's starting to take a little of this shit personal. Like, okay, y'all need stuff. That's the recruit rush, and I'm Dak. I worry when Dak is back in, if they try to call that same playing style, one, will he get mad? Two, will he just audible at the line and say, yeah, no, we're not running that this one. I already know I'm going to get CD on this route. And if it don't work, then is there any friction with him and Kellen? Because Cooper's like, that's the play we're running it? Cool, let's go. Dak knows more of the playbook, and Dak might go up there and see something that he ain't supposed to see or that he don't really see, and Oliver will play that. Cooper's like, nah, well, I'm good with that play. That's what Coach called us, and that's what we're on. So I don't know. I don't know, because I think Jerry feels like he might have got stuck and overpaid Dak. He didn't really want to pay him in the first place, and now this dude is coming in and doing that with his defense. If they lose to Philadelphia, it would be much easier to go back to Dak. But if he beats Philadelphia when Philadelphia is the top of the league, ooh, man, I can't wait to talk to you next week, Gary boy. That's going to be good stuff.
Well, I mean, even,
well, I can tell you this.
I'm expecting them to beat Philadelphia this week.
Okay.
I'm expecting him with
he just told us his prediction.
I'm expecting him to beat Philadelphia with their backup quarterback. But he is their backup quarterback. And again with that, I'll go back to I don't see that with Dak Prescott. I watch every single thing and read every single thing cowboy there is out there on the internet, and I just don't see that. He's done nothing but, you know, be in that locker room and working on what he's got to work on and helping wherever he can with Cooper Rush. So I don't really see that happening with him. Were they human? It's possible, but I just personally don't see that happening. I think that if they change the offense and they say, hey, this is our recipe, we can win this way, he's had four games where he's seen, hey, it's worked. So why not jump
this
on
is why
that?
I say that. The one thing he said that I like, and I watched it earlier a couple of days ago, everybody knows what we can be when we're, our past game, we can be when we're healthy. Well, CD's healthy. Noah Brown is healthy. You already got Gallup back. The only motherfucker that ain't healthy is Dak Prescott. Why would you say that if Cooper Rush is out there with all the wide receivers all healthy? The only person you talk about that's not healthy is you. So when he said that, I was like, oh, that's a little bit of a shot, because they're doing this. But when I get back out there, passing game is going to get real silly, because that's when we're healthy. So that's the point of it that I was like, you're right, they're human. So I don't know. He might be saying all the right things, but when you get paid like that, you see a backup come in and get so much national love that he's getting, and rightfully so, because he's kept that shit afloat, because nobody thought that was going to happen to this extent. I don't know. I don't know if he messed with a good thing. You can be Wally Pitch. You can lose your job to injury. It happens. It happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So,
it happened. It happened.
Drew Bledsoe to Tom Brady. Drew Bledsoe to Tom Brady. That's
happen.
An example of that. But –
I'm not saying he's going to.
The Cowboys cannot live off
Destiny.
Of 100 yards passing in a game.
There's no reason. I totally agree. There's no reason to rush Dak Prescott back, right? You know, but when he's 100%, he's their star quarterback. I think he can take that team to an elite level, not just the good level.
Okay.
He has the potential to take him to an elite level. But I agree. There's no need to rush him back. If he's not 100% healthy, there's no need to rush him back into a game, because they're winning football games without him. When he is 100%, he's got to be their guy, because he has the opportunity to potentially take that football team to an elite level.
I would say this, and we can get off of it. The only thing that I would cap that with is, though, when he comes back, now he's got greater expectation on him to come back healthy and produce at the same level. Because as soon as they lose two or three because he's rusty or makes a couple mistakes, then it's going to be the, well, you should have stayed with Cooper Rush. And now you have that piece. If you let Cooper, he builds up a little cachet.
I see there.
If he,
yeah.
If he loses one or two, you're like, okay, his run is not over. We can go back to Dak. But if that comes in from a hot hand and don't keep the hot hand going, then you start to get the whispers and the conversation. So you want to invite that if you don't have to.
Well, Dak's making a lot of money. He's got to own that. I mean, he's got to own that.
I agree.
We know he's making a lot of money. That's not his fault. He got the contract. But, like JP said,
he's got to own that responsibility. Yeah. He's got to own that responsibility. He's got to keep that ship going. He's making a lot of money for a reason. So he's got to take ownership of that. And hey, that just comes with it, right? You know, when you have that kind of contract, that's what's expected of you. So he's got to take ownership of that.
I agree with that. I just wanted to be the only person to bring it up, the counterpoint of that, because we hadn't talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go there too, JQ, because, you know, we were talking about the controversy because right now everything is going good. Cooper's playing well. We know that Dak is the guy. But you got to understand, right, Cowboys, everything is going good. And I believe you know, Gary, that this Philadelphia Eagle game, this is going to be pivotal. I don't know if they can pull it off, but if Cooper Rush pulls it off, that's going to be a huge issue for the Cowboys. We're talking about, they're like, well, Dak, you might as well just rest up, bro. That's huge. Now, if they lose, at least like, all right, okay, we're brought back to earth. Okay, Dak, okay, now we can kind of bring you back, you know. But I'm telling you, psychologically, Dak is watching what's going on. Dak's like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? He's seeing all the success. He's like, man, what the hell? I'm the quarterback, right? And everyone's in this love affair with Cooper Rush, how great he is, and he's doing this, and he's making all these great. And you're like, what the shit? You know, I mean, I get it, man. That's a huge problem, man. So you're kind of hoping that, you're kind of hoping that you don't have this controversy. That could mess up your locker room, man, honestly.
Yeah, but it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing to have. Dak wants to be a Super Bowl champion, and he got hurt, and the backup quarterback is still winning games. That's good for the football team, right? So if he wants to be a Super Bowl champion, this is good. I mean, we saw this a few years ago with the Saints, and Drew Brees got hurt. Teddy Bridgewater came in, and they still went 5-0, right? And from Dak's perspective, he's got to be the biggest cheerleader and supporter, because if he wants to be in the playoffs and have a deep run, they got to keep winning games while he's out. And he's got to be a big supporter of the situation.
Yeah, I'm Drew Bledsoe. I'm still happy that Tom Brady took my spot, man. I'm really happy that he's, you know, doing good stuff right now. So. Go, Tom.
Go to the next topic.
I know, we could be here all damn day. Let's talk about the NFC West. This is pretty interesting, right, because you're looking at this division, and right now, you've got the 49ers, you got the Rams, you got the Cardinals, and the Seattle, you know, Seahawks. They're all like 2-3, you know. And the Rams, we can spend some talk about the Rams, because the Rams, I know, like, congrats to the Cowboys, they whipped up on the Rams. You got to remember, the Rams are on their fourth center, man. They have their offensive line's been terrible. Allen Robinson's like a ghost. No one knows what's happening to him. Cooper Rush has got all these. It's terrible. Matthew Stafford has almost the identical stats as Matt Ryan. I'm just going to throw that in there because that's how bad that's been playing, man. It's been terrible. So that's what's wrong with the Rams right now. You know, the right. You know, again, you can play, you can play. You hear some problems with you know, obviously Kyler Murray, because the difference of having, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, he's coming back, you know, but Keyshawn Johnson was talking all kinds of hot trash about, you know, they're paying all this money for a running back playing quarterback, and you know, that's happening. Then Geno Smith, you know, he's acting like he's, you know, he's playing decent, but then, you know, it's just
I mean,
a good situation for
him.
He's playing
almost great, Geno Smith, man.
I was going to say, at some point, we got to get Geno his flowers. He's playing good ball.
Man, you see the way he's
playing
that football, the accurate deep ball.
Yeah.
Incredible. I saw it in person this past Saturday. I mean, past Sunday. Beautiful throws, man. Tremendous throws. Geno's playing at an extreme high level. Problem is, Seattle can't stop anybody's grandmother from scoring right now. Their defense is just horrible, putrid right
except
now, which is surprising for a Pete Carroll team, except Denver, you're right. But Geno Smith and those receivers, man, they're playing outstanding.
For that team too for a minute.
The 49ers team in first place at 3-2. Man, they've only given up 61 points in five games.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, right? I mean, I don't think anybody scored double digits, I mean, more than 20 points on them yet this season. I think everybody they played has only scored maybe 10, 11, or even the game, one of the games they lost to Denver was 11 to 10. And so this 49ers defense. Now here's the problem. They just lost Mosley, one of their top cornerbacks for the season, torn ACL. Nick Bosa is out for I don't know how long now. So now they're starting to get hit with some injuries. So how well is the defense going to perform now? But these first five games, they've had probably the best defense in the NFL. They've just been outstanding here, other than maybe the Cowboys. But they've been outstanding on the defensive side of the football. But like I said, they got two major injuries right now. So we'll see how big of an impact that's going to have for them. And they're going against Atlanta this upcoming weekend.
Go ahead, Gary.
So they got a bye week?
Oh, no.
I'm picking the Eagles to beat the Cowboys.
You're going to make Andre mad, man. He's going to go on a rampage on you now, Gary. We're going to be on another 20 minutes.
Oh, you know what? When we talked about the Cardinals, what I didn't take into consideration is the Hopkins effect, right? I expected, you know, the defense to be a little bit better than it was, but I felt like that offense put them in too many on the field too much to start this season. I think if you'd have told Kyler Murray and that foolish head coach that, hey, if we could be 3-3 and get Hopkins back, that they would tell you, okay, I'll take that because he puts everybody else back where they should be. Marquise Brown is not a number one wide receiver. We saw that in Baltimore. He's a number two wide receiver. He's going to probably feed maybe on those deep passes when you have to put a safety over top of Hopkins when he's back, right? A.J. Green is 48 years old, still out there trying to play. You know, Zach Ertz is 41. If you just have those guys and no Hopkins, teams were like, they can't really go past us. We just put a safety over top of Marquise Brown, and then we got them, right? So then they kept falling behind, and they kept getting the empty calories trying to get back in the game. So I'm going to reserve a little judgment on the Cardinals until they get Hopkins back in the post and see what that offense looks like there. And to your point, Rob, I would say the 49ers were a bullet, but those injuries, that's gonna slow them down. And unless Garoppolo, the defense does this, then Garoppolo has to start doing more of that, right? Because if they were defenses up here and he was able just to play here and they could still win those ugly games. But they start to dip a little bit on defense. He's gonna have to start to pick it up with that run game and play action. I don't know what the hell is happening to George Kittle. They gotta refine that guy if you're a San Francisco fan. To get involved in that offense, because him and Debo can be an absolute problem. But Kittle has not done a whole bunch of all this year yet. So, you know, outside of that, Seattle, I think, is going to be one of those. Seattle and Detroit, to me, are going to be one of those teams you watch every week and it's like, God bless. Why is it 35-31 in every game they play? That's who they're going to be throughout the sport. They can't stop nobody, but they can score on you. And the Rams, just that offensive line, it's bad. It's bad.
Might be one of the worst. And we talked about that in the offseason. That was all concerned about the Rams, you know, going into the season. I mean, losing the 89-year-old Andrew Whitworth was going to be a huge blow to them. And then the rest of the line is just horrible. And they've been trading their first and second-round draft picks for the last 3-4 years. But they won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, hey, they took their risk. They won a Super Bowl. You know, hey, it worked for them, right? But now it's starting to catch up to them. You know, those offensive linemen, you got to spend some first and second round draft picks on them, especially if you want to get some starters out of that. And it's catching up to the Rams now for trading those draft picks. So, I mean, they've only scored 80 points in 5 games. And this Sean McVay is supposed to be an offensive genius, but they can't get it done because they can't get it in the trenches. So that's huge for them. I agree with JQ. Arizona's a team that could be a sleeper here. They're only a game back. They're actually not playing horrible defense, and if they can get it going offensively when Hopkins come back, they could be a team here. The 49ers, you don't expect them to be great on offense with Garoppolo. You got to expect your defense is going to go down a little bit. I think the Rams are just – I just can't see them fixing that offensive line issue this year. They're going to have to spend some time in the offseason with free agency and in the draft to get that fixed. And Seattle can't stop anybody. Arizona's that one sleeper that could rise to the top of this division.
Well, I would agree with that, and I know Curtis has been high on Arizona for a while now, and Kyler Murray and just his abilities, you know, both running and passing and just make, you know, extending plays. So I think Arizona is a team because I, you know what, they don't have confidence in Garoppolo. They're saying that now, they have confidence in Garoppolo only because they have to. They've got no choice but to say that. But they proved to him that they have no confidence in him. Now, he's playing right now, and he's trying to do the best he can, but he's not that guy. And if it comes down to quarterback play, that's where the 49ers are going to fail, just like they have in the past when they were Jimmy G this and Jimmy G that, you know. Shanahan got tired of that shit, and he's stuck in between a rock and a hard spot. They couldn't, you know, they didn't have any takers for him either. So
yeah,
he's there. So they've just
yeah,
he's
the worst
have
thing
to deal
that could
with.
Possibly happen. Worst thing to possibly happen, you lose some development time with Trey Lance, you know, so that hurt. And then, you know, like you said, Jimmy still was like, we're kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and they couldn't get anything for him. So I agree, Gary. It's not looking good. Good thing they do have a good defense because that'll kind of bail them out. But just that quarterback play needs to be resolved for sure. Oh, my goodness. Let's talk about Tua returning to practice here. And it's interesting because he got the four independent doctors basically kind of cleared him for a lot of – he sought the advice of them. And it's interesting how this injury changes the dynamic of the Dolphins, because the past couple of weeks we were talking about they were in the top five. And right now the Dolphins are taking a serious nosedive. Teddy Bridgewater, he's in the protocol. Skylar Thompson is going to be starting apparently, and then they may call up like Reed Sinnott from the practice squad. So you talk about a situation where the Dolphins are, it just changes the whole dynamic. And even fantasy wise, you know, you got these two dynamic wide receivers and you don't have any money in the bottom. So unless Skylar can pull a Cooper Rush, this is going to be a tough situation for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought that Teddy actually cleared the protocol, but I could be wrong. And so I thought he was going to be the starter this coming weekend, but I could be wrong.
No,
he didn't clear. Yeah.
They didn't clear yet?
Okay.
They named the other dude the starter earlier today.
Okay. Yeah, Tua, of course, back in practice, as we just mentioned, but definitely not going to be playing this weekend. So, yeah, definitely a huge blow still for the Dolphins. You're down your top two quarterbacks. And I guess the question still remains, is Tua going to come back at all? I mean, there are doctors out there right now that's recommending him to retire if he wants to have a quality of life, you know, going forward. So there are actually doctors out there right now that are asking him to retire right now. Do not risk it any longer. I mean, it's got to be something he seriously think about, right? I think he definitely needs to do as much homework as possible before he steps out on the football field again, if you Tua. And so definitely a huge blow for the Dolphins. I think they're at home this week against the Vikings. I expect the Vikings to go down there and beat them. Surprisingly, Kirk Cousins and the Vikings can get the 5-1. This weekend with this win. So I expect them to go down to Miami and win. Can't expect the Dolphins to win with a third-string quarterback. And, you know, Tyreek Hill's questionable as of right now. So that's, you know, another situation there.
I ain't playing.
He and Waddle both were – I know Waddle was a full participant. They said that Tyreek still got a limited session. The thing about it, though, is I think that he's young. And, you know, when you're young, you feel like you're invincible. I just don't know if I see him retiring. He's going to be the best thing for him. I think what you're going to see happen is that the NFL world turns on, and Tua, as much as we talked about him, that's going to fade some, and then he's going to come back and play this year, right? So, because think about it, we start talking about Tua, and we're like, well, the Tua effect now we're talking about is the stupid, you know, passing, you know, roughing the passer call, right? So we've already shifted off of Tua to what's the NFL going to do about roughing the passer, and then you got Devontae, you know, choke slamming the reporter on the way out the field. So as the NFL world hype news cycle goes another week or two past two and what we saw, and you see something else happen, you can finally come behind the scenes and be like, I'm okay, and he's going to play. I don't think it's going to be probably not to me. I would say probably closer to November. So they can say, hey, we gave him a whole month. We made sure his condition, everything else was good, and now he's ready to play. So I think we kind of all jumped at him when you see him like that. He wasn't going to play anymore this year, but as I read more of what's happening, see what's going on, I feel like he's coming back in November.
Well, I agree with that. I'm no expert on these sorts of injuries, but he's a young guy. You know, they grow up. They're living their dream now. All of our dreams that we've had growing up, playing sports, wanting to play professional sports, you know, as young peewee football players and high school football players and that sort of thing. And so he's living his dream, and he's not going to give up on that. They're going to do their due diligence with him and take their time with him, but he'll be back. They'll take October off, rest of October off, and he'll be back for November. And we'll see where they're at and see if at that point they can make a run. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's get to the picks, actually. I'm going to move to the predictions here. So we've got 50 minutes here so we can get these in here. So let's kind of kick it off here. Some pretty good games we want to talk about. And let's talk about the Jets at the Packers. Rob, let's speak about this one.
2-3-2 teams here. The Jets, you know, obviously had an impressive win over the Dolphins. Obviously banged up Dolphins team. Haven't been totally impressed with the Packers at all. But I'm going to say they'll win this game. I'm going to go 24-21 field goal win by the Packers at home.
Yeah, those MFs don't never cover the damn spread. Now, I'm going to go with that too. They lose to both New York teams that we didn't really expect a whole lot of coming into the season. Oh, you know how Packer Nation is going to be. The sky is going to be absolutely falling. And this is a Lambeau. They had to give up one of their precious Lambeau games to go lose that game over in London. They're going to be hot, bro. I'm going with the Packers. Similar score. I golfed with Mike, actually, after that game, and he was not a happy camper.
Oh, wow.
Talking all kinds of junk.
My buddy Mike
and
George.
Curtis and I talked about this game, and we both went with the Packers. You know, they lost last week, but it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be any dominating game. I can see a similar score, 23-20, you know, right in there. It's definitely not going to be the game of the week. We know that.
Yeah. And I can tell you what, quietly, Robert Saleh's got those Jets playing great defense, and Sauce Gardner has been a phenomenal rookie for them, too. He's playing outstanding.
Yeah. Good chase of business.
Did you hear about the Giants player getting stranded in London,
like,
by the way? Did you hear about that?
I don't like
yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't like either one of these teams. And I've got, but they're not, okay, but they're not, you know, they're not in my division, they're NFC, but the Packers, and with how Aaron Rodgers, you know, just thought he was the smartest guy on the planet with this whole COVID thing and how he was, you know, he did his own research and all this stuff. I picked the Packers, but I'm rooting for the Jets. I want him to pout another week.
I agree with that, actually. I'm picking the Packers, but I'll be rooting for the Jets, too. I totally agree with that.
Interesting game. Let's talk about the Vikings at the Dolphins. And unless some crazy miracle happens, I think we've already kind of picked the Vikings. You said it earlier, Rob. So, like I said, we just talked about Skylar Thompson getting the nod. And like I said, unless he pulls a Cooper Rush, this is going to be a tough game for the Dolphins, unless they got something special or something we don't know about. So, what's a huge key?
Oh, yeah, Kirk Cousins better not go down there losing the first string quarterback.
Seventh round.
Not a fan of Kirk Cousins. Yeah.
Not a lot of people are. That's what I'm saying. You don't need that.
Yeah. But I'm sure you'd rather have him than Skylar Thompson this week.
Well, what could happen is Kirk Cousins could be the game MVP for the Dolphins.
That would be hilarious.
Could be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Vikings in the sweep.
I got no confidence. They're going to win this game.
This is one of those games.
And they're, you know, they're
extremely conservative and win this game. They hand that ball off to Dalvin Cook, hand that ball off to Madison, and be extremely conservative in this game if they're smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You still got Justin Jefferson, too, so you want to give him the football.
Don't stress on this one. Another interesting matchup, you've got the Ravens at the Giants. We talked about the Giants and what's going to happen. So let's go to this one, Rob.
Hey, I'm probably going to surprise y'all with my pick on this one, but I think I'm starting to believe in the Giants. And I'm going to pick them at home to beat the Ravens.
Daniel Jones?
In a real close game, 26-23, the Giants at home.
Well, I'm
Lamar
pulling
Jackson
Gary.
Got to stop turning the ball over.
Yeah, I'm going to pull Gary. I'm going to pick the Ravens, but you know I'm most definitely for the Giants to win the game. I don't think the Giants have enough weapons to stay with it. Green Bay just got cute in that game with them and let them back in it. That's just not really how the Ravens work. I'm going to take the Ravens, but I'm definitely rooting for the Giants.
Well, Curtis and I both took the Ravens in this. Part of it's just, you know, quarterback mobility. You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
We hate the Giants. So,
yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, I picked the Ravens too. But it's interesting, right? Because we gave all kinds of love to the Giants about Saquon, and you know, last week how Naj talked about their Saquon in a prayer, if you will. So, you know, I don't know. Daniel Jones, I mean, he's been playing pretty decent, if you will. So, but eventually, somebody's got to figure out how to stop him. So we'll see what happens with this particular game. So, yeah.
You know, the surprising thing about the Giants is we've been saying for the last 35 years that they need to improve the offensive line. How long have we been doing the show, Andre?
35
years. Yeah.
Ever since we've been doing this show, every year we've been talking about on the draft that the Giants need to improve the offensive line. Now they finally are playing well on the offensive line. And so that's why you've seen the production from Saquon Barkley. They're protecting Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones hasn't been great, obviously. But he's been good enough. You know, he was solidly efficient with the football. He didn't turn it over. Didn't have any touchdowns, but they were very efficient this past week. So the offensive line is definitely one of the biggest improvements that we've seen.
The press conference alerts, the quarterback, he played well. Yeah, the quarterback made all his decisions. He was to the press conference. He's cracking me. They're going to call him Daniel. That quarterback played well. He played well there, yeah. Oh, man. Really interesting game. We got the Bills at the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs are, you know, man, this is it right here.
Heck of a game.
Another recap of
the I'm going with the Bills on the road.
Okay, all right. Good stuff.
I'm going with the Bills on the road.
AFC divisional game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back to the scene of the crime. Oh, you know they have been talking about it. They probably talked about this game as much as they talked about the Pittsburgh game last week because they knew they were going to beat the brakes off Pittsburgh. They've probably been game planning for Kansas City for about a week and a half to 2 weeks. Oh, yeah. To go back to the scene of the crime after what happened to them last year, I'm definitely taking Buffalo.
Yeah, no, I think you're a little off on that, JQ. They circled that at the beginning of the season. They circled this game, the beginning of the season. And I'm also going with the Bills in this 35-31.
I think it's another instant classic. I do.
Yeah.
I like
that.
I think that score is about accurate too, Gary.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, right? So you're watching the game, and Fenton was getting abused by, you know, Devontae Adams. But, man, why are you putting that good single coverage, man? Come on, man. He was shaking that dude, man. It was like, what
now you got to deal with Stephon and Gabe Davis.
Yeah, it's not gonna be the same thing, man. Like, high safeties, make sure don't get you know anything underneath you got right. But
yeah, Stephon, he can swing that ball like 70, 80 yards down the field. It's
like,
crazy.
Boy, Devontae,
and the drop down the chimney. I said, Jesus.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. We got the Cowboys at the Eagles. Here we go. I'm picking the Eagles. I already picked that. Sorry, Garrett. Just saying. Not because I'm mad at you, because I'm mad at you. No, I think that's going to be Cooper Rush, man. I think it's going to come to an end, man. So we'll see what happens. This is going to be a very good game. I know Micah Parsons has his groin. He's going to play. I know he had a groin injury, if you will. He's going to play, but I think this is going to be a really, really challenging game for the Cowboys, and I think the Eagles are going to be ready.
Yeah, Philly's been playing great defense, too. Maybe not quite as good as Dallas, but I think offensively they're just a little bit better than Dallas. I like the Eagles by a field goal in this one, 20-17. Two straight weeks Philly winning by that score. I think it's going to be a close game, a defensive battle, physical, intense matchup. Yeah. Lincoln Financial Field is going to be rocking. And so I like Philly by a field goal, 20-17.
I do too. But I think what you're going to have to do if you're Dallas is you're going to have somebody spot him. And if you do that, then you can send Brown down. And I don't know if they double up, you know, just keep Diggs only one-on-one if they give him any safety help. But Goddard has been really good over the middle for them, and to a lesser degree, so is Devontae Smith. So that's why I think they just have one more playmaker than I think Dallas has currently right now on offense. It's going to be a close game. It wasn't surprising if Dallas won this game, because like we talked about, they have a formula. But, you know, in Philadelphia, if it was in Dallas, I might have taken Dallas. Because I think it's that three-point swing that you always get from the bookmakers. They give the home team generally 3 points, and they work from there. So I'm going to go with Philadelphia, too, by field goal. I think it's going to be the total opposite of the Kansas City-Boston game. It's going to be a heavyweight fight in the trenches, haymakers, uppercuts.
Game.
Oh, it's going to be an excellent game. It's going to be two different kinds of excellent games.
Great game.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well,
I agree.
If this game was in Dallas, I'd be picking the Cowboys, too.
I'm going with the score 20-17 as well. But I'm going with the Cowboys, and I think that Hurts is going to get his opportunity to drive his team down to tie it or win it, and he's going to get beat down by that front line when it counts. Cowboys, how about those Cowboys?
Did you see his face change when you started talking about it? Don't go down the field. Don't get hurt by that front seven. He missed that shit.
Hey, I remember my football days. I played mean. I like a mean player. I don't like these guys that are shaking hands at the end of the games. I like them. You know, if that's that team you hate them. That's it.
I
still hate
get
some
it.
Of my teams that
I
played
get it.
At the game.
I just – that was funny. I just saw your home debut change. That was great. I wish I had a chance to go back and snapshot that.
Next up, gentlemen. We are officially up. We got about 42 seconds to the 2 minutes for the end of the show too. So, you know, again, we're gonna get you guys out of here right at 12, if you will. Rob, just as a quick segue, I definitely think the Warriors should suspend Draymond Green. That dude's an asshole, man. So you know, let that dude get suspended. Pretty terrible. And that's not good. That's right. It's not good for basketball. And that's even outside of the Warriors fans, which is, you know, that's terrible. And we talked about things getting filmed, and Steve Curry talked about fights that, you know, that happen, but you just don't. It's just that dude didn't have the emotional intelligence to. You don't hurt your teammates, man. That's just not how you do things, man. So not a fan of him by any means.
It's going to be his last year with the Warriors, too. I think it was last year with the Warriors. I mean, Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins are a priority right there for re-signing. And I think Draymond Green just is going to become expendable. They got to keep Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins on those teams. But ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music at the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next week. As of right now, I believe we're playing it on Tuesday night next week. That's going to be 11 p.m. for our friends on the East Coast. So all of our listeners in Atlanta and Philadelphia watching Major League Baseball playoffs, want to hear y'all, want to hear some trash talking in the baseball series. So we want to hear from y'all. Want to hear from the Eagles fans, too, in Philly, 5-0. Come on. We want y'all to call in, even if y'all lose or if y'all win.
Yeah,
so we want to hear from y'all
Eagles,
on Tuesday.
Call
night.
In. We want to hear from you.
Eagles chick for life. Eagles chick for life is talking a lot of junk.
Oh, yeah. All right. In the Central Time Zone,
it's
going to be 10 o'clock. It's going to be 10 o'clock in the Central Time Zone. So that's in our friends in Chicago and New Orleans. It's going to be 10 o'clock. Mountain Time Zone. Denver, Utah, 9 p.m. And on the West Coast, Los Angeles, San Diego, battling it out. Dodgers up 5-3, hit another home run a little while ago. We're going to hear from y'all in Southern California at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time next week. Good night, people.
Ooh-wee, yeah, I don't know if we're going to have time to talk about it, but, man, some college football matchups this weekend, Alabama and Michigan with some big games. I can't wait for Saturday.
Hey,
I can't be good.
Tennessee going to beat Alabama.
Bryce Young's up there.
Yeah, hey, every year you got a quarterback or two that rise in the draft, and Hendon Hooker from Tennessee, I got him already in my top 15. So he's that guy, one of them guys that's rising.
Yeah, no, I got you all. Sorry, you're at USC, too. You happen to go to Utah. Got some clashes happening this weekend for the top 10. I love it. Especially since we off, and I ain't got to worry about that shit this week.
I think Utah might upset USC, too. I know Utah struggled on the road against UCLA this past weekend, but I think getting USC at home, I can see them beating, upsetting USC by a field goal or two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, Chip.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Have a good rest of the evening. We'll see you next Tuesday. Be safe. Take Chris first. Going out to Curtis. Thank you, Gary, for taking care of him as well.
Okay, next week on the show, I want to talk about these quarterback sacks. I want to dig into that.
Yeah.
Please put that in our topics, Rob, because that's changing games.
Well,
you know, that's changing games that are, you know, that's having the referees decide the game. And I've watched that play over and over and over again. Pisses me off every single time.
Which play?
I'm going to tell you what. I've seen two or three bad calls for every NFL game I've watched so far this year. I know there's been a few that's gotten highlighted, but, man, I've seen some horrible officiating so far this season. And, you know, you never like to blame a loss on officials, but, man, I've seen some horrible officiating so far this NFL season. Number one, they got to get these NFL officials full-time so they can focus on this year-round. Number two, your coaches got two challenges. They should be able to challenge anything. We got the technology. Get it right. It's deciding games, as Gary just mentioned. You should be able to challenge anything. I don't care what it is, a penalty, overturn, pass interference, or roughing the passer. Let the coaches decide what two plays they want to use regardless. Use the technology. Get it right.
Okay, Rob, stop
Chris
talking
Jones,
about
that was terrible.
I want to talk about it next week.
Okay. You brought it up.
All right, guys.
All right,
y'all.
Talk to you guys.
All right.
Yep.
Bye.